Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, August 11th, and a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we talk about the big things that are happening on east of East Street on Bay. You know what is happening east of East Street off Bay? A new art gallery is opening on east of East Street on Bay, right opposite Hoffa's thereabout, right? And I'm kind of excited because this is like the second or third art gallery opening on Bay. And it means that the energy, the excitement, big things are happening for Bay Street again, right? Arts and craft, the orange economy has returned to Bay. Bay Street is turning back Bahamian. And when I say turning back Bahamian, the celebration of Bahamians in general is happening on Bay. And to help me talk about this new art gallery, this art gallery is called Native Art and Native Arts and Craft. I got to get the correct name for that. We have Miss Moya Strawn, who's a curator for the art gallery, who's also an artist. Right? And she's going to be talking about who she is, first of all, right? We got to find out what kind of artist she is. And of course, we got to find out how she got space on Bay. And now that we're opening this grand affair, this coming Saturday. Is it Saturday when it's opening?
Yes, it is.
The big grand opening Saturday. All the who's who is going to be there at this grand opening of a who's who on for this art gallery, right? So I'm excited. You know when you're so excited that the words escaping your mouth right now? Mm-hmm. My mouth is watering because anyone who knows me knows that I'm pro-culture, pro-Bahamiana, and to know that things are happening on Bay is something that we all should be excited about and all should celebrate. But without further ado, allow me to introduce you to Miss Moya Strawn. Miss Moya Strawn, tell me who you are, and basically in terms of being an artist also.
Okay, good morning. My name, of course, is Moya Strawn, and yes, I am a fine artist. I have been a practicing artist for many, many years. I started out at SAC with my art teacher, Mrs. Pauline Barker, and then I went on to study fine arts at Abilene Christian University. And of course, after leaving university, I went on to be an art educator, and my first post was at Temple Christian. So I have many, 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 many students from Temple. Then I went to Xavier's, and then I was in the Family Islands, and back in Nassau, C.I. Gibson and D.W. Davis. And now I'm at Queens College, where I've been teaching for the past 15 years. But as an artist, a fine artist, I have done numerous shows. I've had my one lady show, I should say, at the Central Bank all the way back in 2000. And I've also been a frequent artist at the Wine and Art at the National Art Gallery. And I am always proud to say I have produced many of the nation's best artists, architects. I've also produced students who are now fashion designers. So I'm always excited and proud of my students, illustrationists, cartoonists, many, many students I've produced over the years in the sense that I've mentored them. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be now opening up an art gallery along with my partner, Mrs. Bonnie Culmer. And the idea originally, and this is something that I always wanted to do. However, my schoolmate, Miss Bonnie Culmer, suggested, because she had Bonaventure Lab downtown, she suggested, Moya, I think this would be a lovely space for an art gallery, because she was, closing out the Bonaventure Lab. And I said, oh, this is perfect. She said, you want us to partner and do this together? And I said, yes, of course. This is something I always wanted to do. So she was in one of my online classes that we had over the COVID. I had online art classes, and she is a very good artist herself. I must mention that. And so we decided to open up Native Arts and Crafts on Bay, because both of us wanted to see more art and craft that are produced in the Bahamas, and we wanted to promote it. We wanted not only a place for the artists to feel at home, but we also wanted a place where they would be their artwork would be exposed, not just to locals, but to the tourists. And obviously, we want this to grow, that, you know, our art is going to be exposed to the world.
I'm excited for you, by the way.
Yes.
I'm excited for you. And this is your first venture like this?
This is my first venture. When I say venture, I have done different exhibitions, and I have always promoted my students' work in competitions and exhibitions. But to actually open up a space for not only them, but other fellow artists in the Bahamas to come and be able, and artisans, to come and showcase their pieces. That's what it's all about.
And I want to explore that. Exactly what shall I be expecting when I go there? But I just want you to define something. Things. You said fine arts earlier, and I wasn't sure what that was.
Okay, when I talk about fine arts, you know, fine arts is a very broad term, but we're dealing specifically with the visual arts. And visual arts will include paintings, drawings. It would also include sculpture. We'll have wood carvings. I want to talk about our artist who has his sculpture in there that is produced by fiber, the coconut fiber. We have some that are doing wood carvings from driftwood. Michael Hoyt is doing the carvings from driftwood, and he's also using items from the sea to produce his paintings/mosaics. Troy Nixon has his what we call his sculpture that's produced from coconut fiber. We also have Haven Acrylics that they are producing acrylic pieces where it's like a marbling effect that they do on different items and different Bahamian animals, sea animals and things found in the Bahamas. It is totally gorgeous, the work that they're producing now. So I would like for everybody to come walk through and see what we are showcasing.
And you're on Bay, so I expect to be your prime audience, perhaps will be tourists. And of course, Bahamians will pass through.
Yes, tourists and Bahamians. We want our Bahamians to come in and look for things or put paintings or prints in their places and in the hotels, in the doctor's offices, in the lawyer's offices, that and the banks that are produced and painted right here in the Bahamas. You don't have to import anything. We have it right there at Native Arts and on Bay.
And for this opening, this exposition, any particular artists you can call that who will be featured on this one?
Yes. I must say that we have numerous artists that are featured. This is a collection of work that we've collected, not only from Nassau, but from the different family islands. We have Michael Hoyt. We also have Wendy Cartwright from Exuma. We have artists that are based in Freeport. We have a Mr. Brown who's sending up his pieces that are produced in Freeport. We have our local Nassauvians, I should say. We have Greg Dean. We also have Mr. Rankin. We have Nadia Smith. Sean Sayers, we have Kevin Roll, we have Chalthorn Strawn, another Strawn. Definitely we have Trevor Tucker.
Trevor Tucker's big time, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And now Trevor is a very versatile artist. He produces not only artwork, but he produces ceramics and prints. The tourists just love his stuff. Mm-hmm. Really
I know he's in demand, so it looks like I need to come over there to see what it is. But in terms of purchasing stuff, right? I know I'm familiar with Trevor Tucker work, right? And I'm familiar with his ceramics and his pieces that I can take home, which is kind of inexpensive. Like, say, I can afford that. Let me grab a couple pieces of this, right?
Yeah.
I assume that you have other artists who would be doing similar things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Good. Definitely.
And the opening. The grand opening.
Uh-huh.
Which day is that? What time is that? And how much money I need to bring in order to buy a couple of pieces?
I would bring my, I would bring like about $2,000 with you.
Oh, you want me to spend real money?
Now, let's talk real stuff. But however, if you don't have that, we have smaller pieces that you could purchase that are under $100.
Okay, under $100.
So you could still bring your $50 in your, and then you could walk away with something.
Okay.
I must mention that we do have the Recycle Project. That's going to be in there. It's something that's new. It's brand new. It's going to be out there and taking the Bahamas by storm. We have a group that's been, a company that's being run by Janelle Albury, and they're bringing their painted glass pieces. It's recycled. They are taking bottles, wine bottles, and different things. They're cutting it. They're refining the glass. So all those things that you throw away, that bars throw away, it's a glass project. It's recycling the glass, and they're producing vases, they're producing cups, they're putting, what do you call it, engravings on there for all occasions. And a group of artists, is in the process of painting directly onto the glasses.
Nice.
So that will be showcased as well for the opening. So I'm very excited about it. The opening is at 5 p.m.
On
Saturday evening.
Okay.
That means this Saturday, everybody. So put that on your schedule.
And tell me the exact location. Because I hear you say Hoffa's. I know where Hoffa's is.
Yes.
And I just can't figure out which building are you in when you say opposite Hoffa's.
Okay.
I thought opposite Hoffa's is a parking lot.
Oh, yes. So next to Hoffa's is there's a bar. And I know we're not trying to advertise the bar, but, you know, it's there. But right next to the government printing parking lot is the building. There's a plaza, and it's called Elizabeth on Bay Plaza.
I see it.
And we are right in that plaza. We're right on Bay Street, and we're right there. So you could say Elizabeth on Bay. We're in Elizabeth Avenue on Bay Street. The store is right in the front. And I don't know if some of you remember Bay Street the way it was. Benetton used to be right there in that space.
I see Benetton. I remember buying clothes right in the 90s in Benetton.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Benetton.
Like right in that space.
Okay, I see.
Right in that space.
I see it. Any parking? Or yes. How we do that?
Parking can be done either. Now, you know, if you're in the government printing parking, they tend to charge you like about
$3. That's after 5.
Yeah, after 5.
They can be there.
You could park there free.
Okay, the thing is at 5 o'clock, I know where to park. Okay.
Uh-huh. And then there's the Kelly Dock. You know where the pirate ship dock.
Mm-hmm.
There's a space in there. So right after you pass Elizabeth Avenue, you'll take the first left.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can park right through the corner, but you know we want so many of you to come through. So we know you're going to probably have to park in the Kelly Dock parking.
Mm-hmm.
Or you probably have to park in the government. But we just want you to come and see. And we want you to come and purchase too.
If I want to see one or two pieces beforehand.
Yes.
To say, well, I like that. I come in for that.
Okay.
Do you have like a social media page or web page? I say, let me go on and say, okay, I come in for that.
Yes.
Or I can reserve that whole list. Don't sell it to nobody else.
Yes.
Or ask you in advance, I need a print of this right here.
Oh.
Is that possible?
It's possible. We have a Facebook page, so mm-hmm. just look for Native Arts and Crafts on Bay. We also have an Instagram page. And so we're posting, we're putting up work. And so if you're interested, you could either call the gallery too. You know, you can message us. The gallery number is, of course, 242-824-0030. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you see a Facebook page, Instagram page, that's the number there.
Yes.
In terms of after Saturday, the big grand opening when all the who's who come mm-hmm. there and all the artists and persons interested in Bohemian art, right,
yes.
take advantage of the prices and everything.
Uh-huh.
What's the operating hours after that?
The operating hours is Monday through to Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. From 11 p.m. to 4 p.m. daily.
11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah,
daily.
And Saturday we're open. By the way, we do programs that's going to be run from there.
Like what?
Yeah. We're going to have Sip and Paints.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes. We host Sip and Paints there. We also going to host not only Sip and Paints, but we're going to have where you can paint pottery.
Okay.
Yes, you can go and paint pottery. Anybody who used to go to the Earth and Fire over Paradise Island know now that you can come there and paint pottery there. Then we're going to have different field trips, school groups. We're going to invite school groups to come into our gallery.
It'll be very interactive.
Yes, and workshops. We're artist hall workshops. And we'll probably be doing some adult and student art classes there on weekends.
Okay.
So we're really excited
this nice.
About this space.
I like how you're embracing Bohemians to be involved
oh,
in it. I
yes.
thought it was just going to be tourist-oriented, but this is
no.
a Bohemian project,
this
inviting Bohemians to participate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This space is there for Bohemian artists, artisans, and definitely, yes, we want the tourists to come through in floods, but we also want our native Bohemians and locals to know that this space is there for them. And for them to come and utilize and to learn more about our Bohemian art. We really want to spread the word that our artists and our artisans are top-notch, just up there with everybody in the world.
Now, if I'm an artist that's listening, young
yes.
artist is listening and say, well, I want my work featured in the future.
Yes.
Who do they contact? Or I assume the same
yes,
numbers?
Yes, that same number, Native Arts and Crafts on Bay. This is our first. We're going to change our show, on a regular basis. However, artists can have their own private shows.
Okay, really?
Yes. Yeah, so if you want to have like an art show where only your work is being shown for that a particular period of time, definitely you can book a time with Native Arts and Crafts.
And rent the whole place.
Yes. And then they could utilize the space. And then also with that, they would be able to bring their work in and we'll be putting it up. So from time to time, we'll have themes and we'll have different artists changing, hosting their shows right there.
You have any celebrity artists coming for this
oh,
opening?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. For the opening, we're going to have our Bohemian ambassador, Jamal Rowe.
Oh, nice.
He's going to be there. Oh, my goodness. How could I forget?
That means all the PSP coming today.
The celebrity.
Let's have an entourage.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. He is going to be at our opening. He's going to be our guest at our opening. So we are really looking forward to seeing him. And as y'all know, he is our spokesperson for the Bahamas.
Yes.
For art mm-hmm. and this orange economy mm-hmm. that is taking our art to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he will be present there with us.
His Excellency Jamal Rowe.
Yes, he
and
will.
I assume that you've already invited the entire art community. So
yes,
it could
have.
Be who's who in art.
Yes.
Will be at this opening.
I'm sure they're coming.
And then dignitaries will be there.
Yes.
And then lovers of art, people, Bohemians who love art and want to take advantage of deals. Because like I said, I know that you have some of the artists do smaller pieces.
Yes.
What I call affordable pieces that you could buy and take advantage of.
Yes. Yes. So please, Our Excellency Jamal Rowe, Ambassador to UNESCO, will be present. So, you know, I know some of you have seen the excellent work that he's done with the pictures of our former Prime Minister recently,
mm-hmm.
Hubert Ingraham, Honorable Hubert Ingraham. So I know some of you would like to come and just meet him.
Yeah, man. Uh-huh. I've taken a few pictures with him, so I don't mind taking more, but I'm excited.
Me too.
My child is a very much artist enthusiast, so that could be a field trip for her, just to be rub shoulders amongst these various artists and have that experience and have that conversation with them. So I'm kind of excited about this Saturday event. Yeah. So remind me of the date and time again, location of the event, and the Facebook page and all of that again.
Okay, yes. So this Saturday at 5 p.m., we're going to have our grand opening at Native Arts and Crafts on Bay Gallery. We'll be there from 5 to 8 p.m. So please don't miss the grand opening time so you can come through. And we also are open every day except for Sundays from 11 to 4, and also we're going to have our celebrity artist and ambassador, Jamal Rowe, there. He's going to be our main guest, our special guest, and so you're welcome. You're welcome to come on down.
And you say your Facebook page is what again?
Our Facebook page is Native Arts and Crafts on Bay, so you can look us up on Facebook. Also, you can look us up on Instagram. So we also have an Instagram page. And hopefully, you know, just in short order, we can get our webpage ticking.
Yes. So that's tomorrow. Tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Yes.
The opening, grand opening of Native Arts and Craft on Bay.
Yes.
It's located opposite Hoffer's. Mm-hmm. And if anyone familiar with the old Benetton building, they're exactly right there. There's ample parking to just go and park. Mm-hmm. They have a number of featured artists who's going to be exhibiting their work tomorrow. And of course, they have as their special guest artist, the ambassador, His Excellency Jamal Rowe. Like, yes. Will he be painting? Because he do thing live.
Oh. I think it's going to be just the fact that he is our special guest.
I could convince him. I could nudge him. Say, man, paint something.
Want to pick
paint
up
something.
A paintbrush tomorrow, but we want him to relax too sometimes.
I understand.
Because he's been working hard.
Yes.
And we have numerous other artists that's going to be there.
Call the names
so,
again.
So we have Michael Hoyt. We also have Sean Sayers. We have Nadia Roll. Of course, you'll see some of my pieces. Mm-hmm. We have Rankin. We have Charlton Strawn. We have Alcano Dames. We have Kevin Roll. We have some other young artists like Tajay Holder, Ovonya Higgs. We have also Greg Dean. We have Haven Acrylics. We also have Troy Nixon, of course. There are so many artists there, and definitely Trevor Tucker. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if I'm missing any names, you guys, I'm Perez Curry. We're going to have many other artists there. So come and see. Come and see. Carla Campbell, her pieces are there.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm excited. That's this Saturday at 5 p.m. On Bay Street. And I was speaking with Miss Moya Strawn. Of course, she's a fine artist, all right? Yeah. And she's opening and creating, how do you pronounce that word? Curating.
Or directing.
Yeah. Go ahead. Her own art gallery. Was she a partner?
Yes, my partner.
Everybody's going to get
Bonaventure Culmer.
Yes.
She
has pieces?
Yes, she has a piece.
I don't know
there.
Her as an artist, though.
Oh, yeah.
I know she's like in a medical field type thing. Oh, yeah. You know? So this is.
You're going to be surprised when you see her beautiful piece. Her piece is normally in the window.
Yeah.
With a beach and a conch shell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very native.
I get to come just to see that. Uh-huh. I'm impressed. But we're going to take a commercial break now as we transition. And thank you very much for passing through, by the way. I'm very excited about this. You will definitely see me there tomorrow.
I'll be looking forward to
that. And I need to plan at least one or two field trips, especially for that sip and paint.
I
need to take advantage of a safe space where I can come and orange sip and paint.
And relax.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But Guardian Radio in the AM, but we'll be right back after this brief message.
God, can you believe this?
We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform. Oh, Lord. And I gotta buy snacks, too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever back-to-school snackathon.
What's a snackathon?
Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
The Guardian Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever back-to-school snackathon. We want your help by assisting in donating school snacks to children in need as they head back to school this year. To join our snackathon, simply shop at Solomon's and Fresh Markets. You can donate your pre-existing loyalty point or you can donate cash at the register. Every penny will go to purchase snacks that will be donated for distribution to the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Let's ensure that every child that opens their backpack to start this school year has a snack and a smile.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And we are continuing our conversation talking about Bay Street and the big things that are happening on Bay. Just recently, we had the artist Moya Strawn on, and she's left already, but she's talking about her opening, the debut of her art gallery. It's going to be on Saturday at 5 p.m. Native Arts and Craft on Bay is the name of the gallery. And it's going to be a fine art store, fine art gallery, where you could even do sip and paint and have various artistic type things there. So I'm kind of excited about that. But I'm going to continue this conversation about what is happening on Bay. And as everyone in the Bahamas should know or be aware, there has been a number of breaking down of old buildings on Bay. The Bahamians in general are in support of it. They are excited to see that something is happening east of East Street. And so this is a big thing. But I wanted to read the article, right? Let me pause. First, I would like to commend the Ministry of Tourism for take up the mantle, holding this mandate and say they're going to do something to change the product, the look of Bay Street, and carrying it out. Because we have a number of persons for decades now, we've been talking about Bay Street and how we're going to change Bay Street. And all the Bahamians have been looking and saying, well, this change slow. This change is like molasses, just slow. But to see the commitment of this administration, Ministry of Tourism, and their committed efforts to work through, right, despite the stenching of various actors inside this issue, they continue to work towards it. So I just wanted to commend them for it. But I'm going to read this article, right? The article, of course, is in the business section of The Guardian. And one thing made me smile, and I said, let me analyze this a little bit, or let's put it inside the listening ear to see what it is, right? So this is an article by Chester Roberts. senior business reporter and for National Guardian. And it goes like this. Say, the owner of the first of four buildings east of East Street scheduled to be demolished is coming in the coming days, said that she and her family eventually want to replace their now demolished structure with a mixed-use building that will include commercial and residential spaces. Dr. Merciana Moxie, who was on hand to watch the building she and her family purchased about 15 years ago to be torn down on Wednesday, said they were completely in favor of the demolishment of the property and approached the government last year about raising the building. Okay. Because the building was already dilapidated, the unused at the time she purchased it, she said it held no sentimental value, and she looks forward to the government beautifying the space when it's fully cleaned out. It is a dilapidated building, and you cannot restore it. It's pretty much gone, said Moxie. It needs to be knocked down, and then hopefully we can come together and decide on what to put up. We're looking on probably in the near future retail space. And it goes on to page B2 in The Guardian. I want to analyze that now, but I'm going to read it out, so finish this story, right? B2, let's see if I see that. Okay. And offices. I know that the government is interested in Nassau being a livable city, so hopefully some apartments, comma condos. Moxie says she is keen on seeing the area east of East Street become a bustling commercial hub. It was when commercial shipping was still situated in the area. She also wants to see the living city concept come to life. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism, Investment and Aviation, Chester Cooper, said for now, the sites of the demolished buildings will become green spaces and places for public activity. Over the course of the next few weeks, you might very well see some picket fences and some green spaces in most of these spaces, said Cooper. I can tell you that we are making active progress in terms of our plans. This is only one component of the plan to really reshape what's happening on Bay Street. The budget this year includes $1 million for the beautification of the entire Bay Street area. We are doing active work at the moment with our planning. You should expect to see new planters, plants, benches, some very preliminary things, but we expect that they're going to show dramatic improvement. The government has eyed 9 buildings for demolition, and while 4 property owners have agreed to have their buildings on their properties torn down, Cooper's said there are some who have presented alternative plans for demolition. The bottom line is we want to work hand in hand with the stakeholders. We don't want this to be a forced operation, but we want it to be a partnership. So the government do not own the properties that the buildings that they be demolishing. The rights to these buildings will remain with the current owners, right? The government has contacted all of the 11 owners of these dilapidated properties. Four of the 11 had agreed to have government demolish it. I think I remember the minister saying that the expense for the demolition was going to be for the owners, right? So I assume they will either pay government in the future or they have already paid government to have these buildings demolished. We see that the government plans to use these demolished buildings, these 4 spaces that they have cleared as green spaces, right? And that's, I see you mentioned benches and trees and stuff like that. Now, I'm not sure how long that will be for, right? I took note that Dr. Moxie, the good doctor, whoever she is, says she purchased this property 15 years ago. she purchased a property that was already demolished. Her and her family said, well, it's old, demolished, dilapidated building, sorry. It was already dilapidated. But 15 years has passed, and she and her family was unable to knock the building down nor invest in it. And it seems, it's just me, since they are planning to put a green space there, she nor her family has any immediate plans. No immediate plans for the space. However, she has plans to have it to create some residential housing or apartments, condominiums, she mentioned, and to buy it. She bought into that livable space for base. So she has long-term plans for the space. And the short-term plans is a temporary green space. And it's going to be temporary green space on the four different the government has or will bulldoze. Now, there's no information on the other seven properties, because there are seven more properties that the government has identified that these buildings got to go. Mind you, it's more than 11 buildings that need, I would think, need to go. But definitely seven more need to go. And the owners of these seven buildings has objected to have their buildings demolished. Right? I have an issue with it. Because if it's dilapidated and you're not doing anything to the aesthetics of the building, and the government said, man, we'll knock it down for you. Right? And they say, no, that's okay. We'll keep it just like that. We have plans. Right? Surely there should be some kind of rule, law to say, man, you need to speed up these plans. It can't be another 25 years because these buildings been like that for like at least 25 years. It isn't like it's last week or 5 years ago. These have been dilapidated for a while. So I found that part of the news report concerning still. Because it seems, I only can assume, that it could be maybe another 10 to 20, 30 years before any of these persons commit. And I'm hoping that our media personnel is able to get the names, because no one has called the names of the owners of these properties. And I think that is crucial. I think that the government should be duty-bound to tell us the names of the properties, because we still don't know the list of the properties. Where? Which ones? Which buildings? There's no indication that these are the 11. And these 11 are owned by these set of families or these set of people, right? And these are how these buildings are looking now, right? And there is no accountability in the narrative that, yes, these people realize that their buildings are dilapidated, but in a year or a five-year span, they plan to do something, right? So I think that is concerning, and I'm not sure why isn't the media pressing to get that information of who these buildings belong to. But I just was tickled pink by Dr. Moxie saying that she's happy that the government bulldozed the building. She had the building for 15 years, the dilapidated building for 15 years. There's no sentimental ties to the building, but she allowed it to just stay just like that. Right? Yeah. I found that entertaining. Another story I want to read is the Gaming Board building. So they're moving kind of from Bay Street, but on Bay Street still. This is West Bay Street. The Gaming Board building, other government structures eyed for demolition. So I'm assuming since they're government structures, it shouldn't take that long to demolish, eh? You just go and bulldoze. It belongs to the government. But they say they iron, and words just make me smile, right? That means they considering demolishing it. And I found it odd that the Gaming Board building has been allowed to remain in such a state for such a long time, right? So I'll read that article, right? So this is another report by Chester Robard, right? Robard says the government will will soon give notice that it is preparing to demolish the old gaming board building on Cable Beach. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism and Investment and Aviation, Chester Cooper, revealed on Wednesday, adding that the other government-owned buildings downtown are also being considered for demolition. They didn't tell you which are the government buildings, by the way. He explained that the buildings is still owned by the Hotel Corporation of the Bahamas. And I should have done some research on who exactly is the Hotel Corporation of the Bahamas. Is that a government entity or a private entity, right? Cooper made a comment while talking about the demolition of other downtown structures, one of which was demolished on Wednesday evening. He explained that the government is also an owner of a building, also an owner of buildings downtown and throughout the island that are eyesores in location and needs to be taken down. So there's a confession there saying that government has been delinquent because they have some dilapidated building all through the Bahamas and also on Bay. And that even though it's on Ben's eyesore, they were allowed to remain there for a minute. I'd say 25 plus years, right? Just like the other owners who have neglected their building for 25 plus years, right? We're treating the government building the same way we treat the individual property owners, said Cooper. One would assume that since it's government, you just speed it up. But anyway, Senator Rule also giving, this continues on page B2. Okay. Continuing that. Notice to those respective departments that we hope to see some progress on government-owned buildings as well. I should tell you that the Cable Beach, that on Cable Beach, there is the old gaming board building. That's owned by the Hotel Corporation of the Bahamas. We're given legal notice on that as well. Giving legal notice to who? And they won't, that's government. Anyway, we expect there to be action on that in the short and medium term. Cooper said the government has been getting responses from individuals who want to implement projects as the government cleans up these derelict spaces. He called Elizabeth on Bay, a project that was ahead of its time, as it was built just as the idea of an upgrade and renewed city was placed on the table. And when the container shipping business were moved to Awaki, the Clonoris Elizabeth Bet on Bay building, he was slightly ahead of his time. That should have happened maybe 10 or 15 years ago, said Cooper. If we can get a development of that magnitude right now, we believe the timing is right and really get the development going in this direction, east of East Street. And that's where the story goes. And I remember the Clonoris building that was built, and they had a number of activities in there. But because Bay Street, east of Bay, was a desert, you know, deserted of activities, they eventually closed. So it's good to hear that perhaps they will entertain the Clonoris family to reinvest in that that building again, right? So I'm kind of excited about that. But I just found it interesting that to know that the government actually owns dilapidated buildings on Bay Street. That for decades we've been complaining about dilapidated buildings on Bay Street, and nothing happened. To only know that now, you know, they could have bulldozed a long time, expedite some of these things long time, right? And I'm still concerned about the other 7 buildings that they have identified, and that the owner said, no, you can't bulldoze these, but we don't know when they're going to start any kind of work on that. So I'm very much concerned of that. And I also am concerned about the narrative of these buildings. Historically, Bay Street has is a historical district. We have some of the oldest buildings in this hemisphere there, comparable to United States, comparable to Cuba and Puerto Rico, right? House of Assembly and some of these buildings being there from 1700s. So I appreciate the demolishing of these buildings, but as they are demolished, removed from Bay, there should be stories connected to these buildings. The Antiquities Monuments Museums Corporation should be ahead of the demolition to say this particular building was built in whatever year it was built. It was owned by whoever owned it back then. It housed these various stores or whatever it is, because you know, a number of them had was used for rum running and blockading, right? They have, some of them have tunnels underneath in terms of loyalist building, whatever it is. And that story needs to be told. Knocking down the building is one thing, right, for aesthetics. But someone should be duty-bound to tell the story of these knocked-down buildings. You just don't eradicate them without at least educating the public as we go along. I have a text here that says, CA, the building on West Bay is a solid, strong that should not be demolished. And furthermore, it has historical value. I assume they're talking about the gaming board building, right? I don't know any historical stories for it. It could have been a mansion to someone for yesteryears. And that's, if it is, that story needs to be told too. And I have no problem bulldozing old buildings, you know, right? Especially if it needs progress. And I feel shame for that, because other countries are looking for old buildings to preserve, especially 100-year-old buildings, 200-year-old buildings to preserve. And it just seems that we in the Bahamas like progress so much that we can ignore 200-year-old buildings and say, man, we like something brand new and foreign, so it needs to be Americanized, right? And I have no problem with that. But surely the narrative, the story of the building should be told. So if the Gaming Board building, like the text is saying, that it has historical value, if it does have historical value, at least tell the story. At least take pictures of it that the next generation, when they drive by and see that a hotel seemingly popped up at that spot, that the demolition of it is not by chance, but there are persons who want to buy that piece of property and to put another hotel there to get access to that beach, right? At least there should be a story that once upon a time, this mansion was owned by whom, and it transitioned and the government bought it, et cetera, et cetera. Because you know, our government, and we even talk about the government building west of the Wynn Hotel, where our government purchased it, the man house, the Chief Justice, and now it's just lay abandoned and fallen apart. We are famous for purchasing buildings, the government, and leave it abandoned. So it's sometimes just disingenuous of our government to demand that these private property owners demolish and fix their buildings when they have a slew of buildings that has lay empty and dilapidated over the years. But we see our Deputy Prime Minister and Ministry of Tourism has made a commitment to fixing these buildings. And so we must watch and wait. But we must also demand. We must also demand that the entities like the AMMC has accountability for these old buildings. Like, we're still waiting on the old Ministry of Education building, Collins House. Like, what's happening there? It's been like 25 years since we've purchased that, right, to host a national museum, right? And it seems as if we stopped collecting, stopped financing, stopped working towards this national museum project. Nobody knows where we stand, how much money is needed. How much money have we secured so far? When the project in terms of renovation will start? Will it ever start in any immediate future? Will it be in the next 20 years, 30 years before any type of construction start? AMMC needs to be held in accountability for all of the historical buildings and parks and monuments and museums in the Bahamas to explain what exactly is this department doing to preserve Bahamian culture, to preserve Bahamian history, and how are they recording and making that history available to the Bahamian public. Surely they're duty-bound for that. They're not just there to collect money at the fort, but also to educate and entertain Bahamians. But I just want to say that I am proud of what the Ministry of Tourism has committed to do. They're working through it, but there needs to be some accountability moving forward in terms of what next? What next? What is next for Bay Street, east of East Street? Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much for listening, and I shall see you next week. Have a wonderful day.